morning to everybody. I'll just give 1 minute for everybody to settle down so that we begin the meeting. And ask the secretary, if it's possible, to fly the agenda quickly. Thank you, honourable members. Let me take this opportunity to welcome everybody and apologize that today I can't be able to show my face because I'm not in my space due to the load shedding in my house. I had to go and be somewhere in exile within an area which doesn't have a load shedding currently. And I hope I am in a position to be clear on what I'm saying. Everybody hear me loud and clear. Today we'll be having a briefing by the business rescue practitioners on the status update regarding the rescue processes of Mango. I would like to welcome all the delegation from Mango stroke SAA, because I think the person who is the chair of the body who is supposed to be leading this delegation is the interim chair of SAA, as we understand that Mango was an entity within the SAA. I hope the minister or deputy minister is present. I don't see any of them, but because I don't want us to waste time, I only had the deputy minister's apology, who is in the air currently flying from somewhere to the Eastern Cape, I think. He will be in a position to log in immediately when he lands. Let's get the first other apology so that we know who is here, who is not here. Can we go to Secretary? Secretary, can you quickly give us the apologies? Kyle?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. The apologies that I received from the Portfolio Committee is from Honorable Kachalia and Honorable Ngwangwa. Our delegation for today is led by Honorable Deputy Minister Maswale. He will join the meeting at 11 o'clock. And also there's a delegation for DPE is Ms. J. Mulisane and Advocate M. Makobe, the DTG, and Mr. E. Bessa, the Chief Director. The delegation from SAA is Professor J. Lamula, Interim Board Chair, and Mr. B. Zwane, Non-Executive Director. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. Acting Secretary. One person at a time. is chair? Who is being chair?
The secretary, it's me, Lebu, the PLO. The committee of the minister's apology is attending cabinet committees, which have already started. That is the omission of what we submitted to the secretariat. Thanks, Chair.
Another one, Chair.
Okay. Another one? Who is that?
It's Honorable Komani.
Okay, Komani.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning. I hereby note the apology of Honorable Maude due to ill health.
Okay, thank you so much. Honorable members, let's go to the business of the day. We are living in a very difficult period. Load shedding starting to disrupt everything. Before we are disrupted, let's go to the interim board chair to give us the overview, and then after that you will give over to the department, because I understand that it is the Department of Public Enterprise that's supposed to provide us with this briefing. If it's not, they will tell us. The chairperson?
Honorable chairperson, Honorable Mark Gadra, and honorable members of the portfolio committee, colleagues from the DPE, and I am accompanied by Ms. Bembe Zwane, who is the chairperson of the Mango Airlines Board, which according to legal prescripts has been in abeyance since the appointment of the BRP on the 2nd of August 2021. Chairperson, it is a pleasure and an honor for us to have every opportunity that we are given to bring the portfolio committee apprised on the developments within South African Airways and all aspects of its activities, which in this instance is a matter of the business rescue process at Mango Airlines. For purposes of today, in the response to the invitation from the portfolio committee, we have the delegation from the Department of Public Enterprises, who I understand in consultation with the business rescue practitioners, they will give an appropriate presentation to the committee. With your permission, Chairperson, we have Ms. Jackie Mudisani, the Acting Director General, and the Deputy Director General, Mr. Advocate Makobe, who will be leading the presentation as prepared and received from the BRP. I see from the BRP office, we have Ms. Otsetri, who will also, if necessary, be there to take whatever is required for further communication with the BRP process. From the perspective...
I'm not sure whether it's me who doesn't hear you. I think you are muted.
I am not muted, Chairperson. Wow. Can you still hear me, sir? Okay, or can other members... hear me? Maybe someone could indicate if it is only the chairperson.
It's only the chairperson.
Honorable chairperson, it's only yourself, unfortunately. But in any case, I've come to the end of my remarks, and I will invite Advocate Makobe. Perhaps he'll be more audible and he could summarize for the chairperson what I have just said. Mr. Makobe, Advocate Makobe, taking over, please. As the chairperson pleases.
Thank you, chairperson of the board, and good morning to the members of the committee and the chairperson. I'm trying to share the screen. Can I be allowed, or can someone in secretariat share the screen of the presentation?
Pele, can you help
us? Yes, I gave the permission. I already gave the permission.
Okay. Okay.
But please remove the agenda so that he can come on. Oh, okay.
Okay, Zoom, I'm now on. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I will be making a presentation on the progress update on the Mango business rescue process. Firstly, we will look at the update on the business rescue in terms of the background of how Mango entered the business rescue process. We will then look at the business rescue plan. We will then look at the timelines in terms of the completion of the business rescue process. Number two, we'll look at the process update with regard to bringing an investor on board in Mango. We'll look at the funding that has been extended for this process and funding that still needs to be extended to Mango to finalize the process. And we'll then look at what are the next steps in this regard. If we start with the background to the business rescue process of Mango, Mango was placed in voluntary business rescue on the 28th of July 2021, and Mr. Sipho Sono was appointed as the business rescue practitioner on the 2nd of August 2021. For every business rescue process to be successful, there has to be funds that are allocated for the restructuring of that particular entity. And an amount of 819 million was allocated to Mango for the restructuring processes. And that was done through the Special Appropriation Act. It is important to indicate to you, Chairperson, and the honorable members, that strict controls on how the money can be spent was put in place. So we needed to understand from the business rescue practitioner what will the money be used for. And he will have to make a motivation before every funding can be extended to SAA to give it to the business rescue practitioner. There were tranches, so the money was transferred in tranches. It was not transferred all of it. And actually, I'll explain later that even the whole 819 million was not extended to Mango. Then the business rescue plan was developed by the business rescue practitioner in line with the provisions of the Companies Act. And the plan was published on the 29th of October, 2021. But that plan outlined that Mango will resume operations in December 2021 with a reduced fleet and also a reduced staff complement, initially from 708 to 412 employees, but ultimately that all the employees will then exit Mango. A meeting of the creditors was convened and held on the 15th of November 2021 to consider the business rescue plan, because the business rescue plan, to be effective, it must be voted on by the majority of the creditors. But at that meeting of the 15th of November 2021, SAA proposed that the meeting being adjourned so that the business rescue plan can be amended to exclude the resumption of operations until an investor comes on board. As I indicated earlier, that the plan at that time was that Mango will then resume operation in December 2021. So that plan was then amended to say Mango will only resume operations once an investor comes on board. And also because the fiscal is very constrained and will not be able to put in the capital needed for the operations to have resumed at that time. So that motion of the SAA was put to the creditors' meeting. The business rescue plan was amended, and that amended plan was adopted on the 2nd of December 2021. Now, as a result of that amendment, which had said that the operations will not resume until an investor has come on board, it meant that most of the staff will not be required, as Mango will not be operating. And then a process was undertook of a VSP, voluntary severance package, and retrenchment in terms of Section 189 of the Labor Relations Act to effectively terminate all employment contracts. I'll talk about the numbers of the VSP and the retrenchment and those that have resigned in the later slides. As a result of that, there were fixed-term contracts that were concluded, and those were concluded at a reduced remuneration given the fact that there was no enough funding for Mango, with just over 40 initially, and later that was reduced to 18 employees. So really to assist with critical care maintenance, matters like your IT, your finance, and also making sure that the regulatory requirements are adhered to. If we move to the next slide, which is really the business rescue plan of Mango in terms of what are really the salient features of that business rescue plan. The business rescue plan really anticipates that there will be an investor that is coming into Mango. I'll get into the details in terms of the process that was followed and the outcome of that process in the later slides. With regard to the operations, the plan indicates that the operations will resume once the investor has been identified, and that will be for the cost of investors. As I indicated earlier, that the fiscals were not able to put in the working capital of Mango. With regard to the aircraft leases, the leases were cancelled and aircraft returned to the lessor. So the investor, once the investor comes in, the investor will then make a determination in terms of the leases that they will want to enter into in terms of operating Mango going forward. When you prepare a business rescue plan, you've got to incorporate a business plan for the company in terms of how the company will operate going forward. And 5 to 8 aircraft could be leased to launch the operation. And obviously that will be in line with what the investor will then determine. With regard to the issue of the employees, as I indicated, that all the employees had to exit Mango, 603 of them exited via the voluntary severance packages. 102 of them were retrenched through the Section 189 process, and 3 resigned so that they can pursue other employment opportunities. Obviously, once the investor process has been finalized, then employees will be employed based on the model that the investor will adopt. With regard to the customers, you may be asking what happens then to the customers of Mango, some of which have bought tickets. There will be vouchers that will be issued by the investor for the value of the ticket. And the plan says if the investor is not found, then Mango will have to be wound down. And then once, if Mango is wound down, it means that the customers will be treated as the concurrent creditors and will receive the dividend in line with the rankings in terms of our law. With regards to the creditors, the creditors of Mango were owed 2.8 billion and funds have been set aside to pay the creditors' claim. But the beauty of a business rescue process is that you are able to negotiate with the creditors in terms of what they will receive from there, from Mango. So it will not be the full amount, it will be a negotiated amount. With regard to the regulatory requirements, as members may be aware that the licenses have been suspended for 24 months, and then there will be an engagement with the relevant authorities to make sure that the licenses and the rules are retained, because that's quite important for this business rescue process to be able to be successful. But also to indicate to the honorable members that there is really value in Mango. If we get the right investor and we get the right deal, we could be able to see Mango in the sky again. With regard to the business rescue timeline, I've already indicated most of the timelines there, but I would like to just focus on the September to October 2022. We have been informed by the business rescue practitioner that an investor has been identified. I'll go into the details in terms of that a bit later. But that is subject to the approval by the shareholder, the ultimate shareholder, which is the government. So we are waiting for the business rescue practitioner to submit an application in terms of the PFMA for the approval of that investor, so that we know who is that investor. We can then determine whether whatever they are putting on the table is something that we can accept as government, whether it's something that is viable. We will have to do our own due diligence and ensure that whatever offer is there makes commercial sense. And once we have done that determination, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, we can come to the committee and be able to explain to the committee our assessment of what the business rescue practitioner has put on the table and whether we are able to approve that. And if we are not able to approve that, then what happens going forward? And obviously, after the PFMA approval, there will have to be Competition Commission approval and also approval from the regulatory authorities. If we can move into the investor process update, just to indicate the process that the business rescue practitioners have followed in terms of bringing an investor into Mango, the expression of interest were received, and the requirement was that they must indicate the proof of funding and the technical ability. Bidders were also given additional time to supplement their submission, but the initial expressions of interest were deficient in that the parties were not able to provide proof of funding. There are many companies and many interested buyers for transactions like this, but for it to be successful, there has to be a proof of funding. The party must have the financial muscle to be able to enter into the transaction. Many of the bidders that are bidding for the stakes are not able to provide the proof of funding. So 6 preliminary bidders qualified to move to the next phase of the process, but also to indicate that as part of the process, there will be unsolicited bids that come in into the process. And that's how deals are struck. It's a live transaction. Even if you have received initial expressions of interest, people, as the process goes on, will then have to be interested and submit unsolicited bids. Then there was the second process was the binding offer, where there was a requirement that you've got to provide the proof of financial and technical ability. As I indicated earlier, it's quite difficult for some of the parties to provide the financial requirements that are required. So the process took really long, as most bidders struggled to secure funding for the transaction. Then a virtual data room was set up so that all bidders can have access to information and undertake their own due diligence. But that was done also on the proviso that they signed a non-disclosure agreement. After that has been done, then management then took them through the presentations so that they can understand the business that they are interested in, and that process was completed. There were draft agreements that were also shared with those who are interested so that they can review them and they can share with their counsel. But those are draft agreements because at that stage, there was no preferred bidder. As I indicated, there has to be an application in terms of Section 54 to the shareholder. We are waiting for that application. We understand that the business rescue practitioner will submit that application shortly, so that then we can determine who is this party that is interested in Mango and whether really what they are presenting to us is viable. Once we have done that determination, we'll come back to the committee and report as such. Of course, there must be other regulatory approval by the Competition Commission and the Licensing Council. Once we have agreed as the shareholder and we have approved that investor, then the Competition Commission and the Licensing Council processes will then kick in. I will then move into the financial update. As I indicated earlier, that an amount of 819 million was allocated for the Mango restructuring. And that's how restructuring in terms of business rescue process works. You've got to provide the post-commencement finance to ensure that that process becomes successful. And as I indicated earlier, that funding was advanced in tranches between August 2021 to May 2022 with fairly strict requirements and for us to understand what is that funding being used for. So the final tranche of 225 million was transferred to the business rescue practitioner in May 2022. So ultimately, Mango has received 734 million of the allocated 890 million. So we have not transferred the whole of it. 85 million was withheld, and creditors have accepted the reduced injection. So there is an amount of 85 million that has not and will not be transferred as part of the restructuring of Mango. And that was really after a very productive discussion between Mango SAA, the BPE, and also the business rescue practitioner. So that has also been approved by the creditors. So the amount of that 85 million will not be given for restructuring of Mango. As I indicated, the funds that were received were sent from the table, they sent 734 million. The retrenchment cost and the salaries cost, as indicated, there is 130 million. The business rescue fees is 25 million. It's quite an expensive process, the business rescue. But there's a lot of protections that you will get, especially with regard to the creditors, because you are able to negotiate with the creditors in terms of what dividend they receive, how much in a rent are they going to get. With regard to the legal fees, there's an amount of 9 million that has been spent. And the valuation cost is 2 million. The other care and maintenance costs are about 4.4 million. And the post commencement claims an amount of 6.3 million. So the total fund utilization is there as 477. There's a remaining fund for creditor and other payments that needs to be made, which is 256 million. But as I indicated earlier, an amount of 85 million will be withheld. What is the next steps? The next steps is that we will receive that PFMA application so that we can determine the investor. If the investor is not credible, obviously the plan says we can wind up Mango, but there's value in Mango, and we'll have to explore all our options to make sure that it goes back to the sky. Of course, after we have approved and satisfied ourselves in terms of the PFMA, then the other regulatory approvals will have to be undertaken, the Licensing Council and Competition Commission, as I indicated earlier. The second step will then be the settlement of all the claims with the creditors. And in terms of the Companies Act, then we will say the business rescue is substantially implemented, and then the notice of substantial implementation can be then be lodged with the CIPC. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. That is the presentation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Honorable Members, that is the presentation from the Department of Public Enterprise. And I think all of us now, we have to engage. Thank you, Mr. Makobe, for this comprehensive presentation that is helping us to understand where we are in relation to Mango, so that we don't get information from the corners, just straight from the horse's mouth. But I will take this opportunity to allow members to engage. I want to start with Honorable Pierre. Honorable Pierre.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning to yourself. I could hear you are struggling with your voice. I wish you a speedy recovery. Chair, allow me to proceed without opening my video, as I'm afraid of the network. I'm at the park and there's a challenge of a network. If it's allowed through you, Chair, can I proceed?
It's acceptable under the circumstances.
Let me start by greeting the ministry in absentia while the DM will join later if time allows him, and greet all colleagues in the platform and the delegation from the DPE and Mango, as well as if the business rescue part. Chair, there's nothing much, but it's just a worrisome picture to our country. Chairperson, I want to welcome the update. Yes, it's honest and fair, but one might have a question. that ask you, I ask myself if we can be in a position to attract investors, as I believe in my own understanding as a layman, not understanding better in the business fraternity, if we can't attract the proper business investor, what will happen to Mango? And it means it's all goodbye or what? Given the suspension of the operating license for 2 years, how will this affect the business rescue process going forward as well? And, Chair, you know, in September last year, 2021, it was reported to us that 100 million was received from government for the business rescue process. Can we get the update on the fund, how it was used and how far? Yes, there was a table where it showed us some were allocated, but specifically, can we be apprised by what is exactly on the 100 million without other funds that were in the coffers of Mango? And lastly, Chair, you know, regarding the local content of the BRP deal, can we be given more information about that? As I've said, I don't have much, but to accept the honest and frank report about the Mango, and, you know, with them, hope that the presenter says there's value in Mango. But as Carol, myself, looking at how it is from a distance, I don't see a value. I there's no hope, but when they present, there's hope. Thanks, Chair. Let me stop there.
Thank you, Honorable Pierre. Can we go to Honorable, let me check, Isaac.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you for the opportunity. Morning all other colleagues and guests that are presenting. Chairperson, like you, I am somewhat in exile in terms of the electricity problems. I trust that you will return soon from exile, and so will I. Chairperson, I welcome the presentation. I'm to ask and interrogate, and I'll go a little slow with your permission so that we're all able to capture. The first issue, Chairperson, is why has Mango stopped operating when the airline could have, in my opinion, continued to operate? Did it have anything to do with Lyft Airlines being partnered with SAA on the Takatso deal? The question is, was this decision not against competition law by disrupting competition while decisions are being made still on the Takatso deal? I hope I was audible and that was able to be captured, Chairperson. I'd go on to ask then, were there perhaps any Chinese walls with the teams negotiating on the Takatso deal and the ones then deciding on the sustainability of Mango? You see, these are key issues as decisions made so far, in my opinion, seem detrimental, Chairperson, to Mango and to SAA. I'd like to go further with your permission. Why did the Mango business rescue practitioners have to take the department to court for the payment of the appropriated funds? What was the main disagreement? I'd like to understand that. And then, Chairperson, what has been the role of the department in the business rescue process? I think Mr. Makobe touched on that, but maybe he could just briefly explain that. And then finally, Chairperson, why has the state now decided to sell 100% of Mango when this is a lucrative business, in my opinion, especially after government, through National Treasury, has appropriated funds for the restructuring of the business? And then finally, Chairperson, with your permission, lastly, I'd like to just comment, is that when the Takasu deal is finalized, will Lyft Airlines be part of this transaction? If yes, then Chairperson, I must ask, will Mango Airlines then be sacrificed to make way for Lyft Airlines? Chairperson, in brief, that's what I'd like to interrogate with your permission. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Isaac. Can we go to Honorable Komani?
All right.
Honorable Komani? Is Honorable Komani still here? Because I heard speaking, she was the one who was giving, yeah. She is on the platform. Honorable Komani?
Hey, I'm sorry, man. I'm being disadvantaged by the load shedding. I'll write my questions.
You'll write them down?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's go to Honorable...
Hello, thanks, Chair. Good morning, colleague. One doesn't have much to say. Maybe we should welcome the report. And though it doesn't give much confidence insofar as saying we will definitely have Mango back on the airway by December. But yes, we understand that's the date that is envisaged. Maybe, Chair, if we can be taken to confidence in terms of how the money that was allocated, because initially it was supposed to cover Mango as well. And how did Mango fall by the wayside in that regard? Thanks, sir.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Dlamini. Let's go to, is Honorable Buthelezi present? I'm just checking here. I don't see Honorable Buthelezi. And then... let's go to Honorable Mkhwanazi. Honorable Mkhwanazi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, colleagues, honorable members, the delegation from DPE and Mango. I see the recovery as a person, but what I can tell you is that please take care of yourself. The fuel is very brutal and is very painful. Chair, I have a few questions, and I'm sorry about that. If the DDG can explain the investor process and the time frame, and if there is a potential investor when they're looking at the submission, and when they're looking at the submissions that they have in the table, and what is the time frame to finish the whole process. On the issue of aircraft lease cancellation, can I get the details whether there was legal fees or legal processes around that, or there was money involved, there was loss or something. And lastly, for me, Chair, is what is the lesson learned, and what are they taking from what happened in SAA to Mango as an experience, and to do things better going forward. That will be for all for me, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhwanazi. Can we go to Honorable Malinga? Honorable Malinga? I think Honorable Malinga is having a problem. Is Honorable Kumede in this session?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Please come in, sir. Honorable, before you come in, Honorable Isaac, is the hand a legal fee or just you've got, you missed something?
Chairperson, yes, I did raise my hand. I missed something, but perhaps you'll just give me a follow-up afterwards, yes. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Kumede.
Chair?
Yes.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. You are loud and clear.
Thank you very much. And again, all of us, it looks as if load shedding is killing us. You know, I was simply cut only when I was checking that, you know, it was the load shedding. Chair, greetings to you. Greetings to the colleagues, the Mango team, as well as the ministry. Chair, I want to say I've been, Dlamini, Honorable Dlamini, covered me to a certain extent. I want to believe, Chair, that the 819 is part of the 10 billion that was a process of the PR plan when we were resuscitating SAA. However, at the time when this budget was mooted, the 819 was not for this restructuring process, which is the PR rescue process. It was a kind of a normal process of restructuring, which was going to talk about resuscitating the boards, pay the employees, pay whatever, in fact, was to be paid for, in order to get the Mango aircrafts back on the road. That was my understanding. I'll be happy if that can be explained to us. In fact, what has made the change? If the change was a strategic change, one is going to be happy. And why that initial perhaps restructuring process was forsaken and then decided to go for this route of a PR plan. So that's the one. Honorable Dlamini has the same understanding as I have. However, the only thing is, yes, it was part. It's only that it differs from the processes that have been taken. But if we can be explained on that one, I'll be happy, Chair. The second one, Chair, my understanding is that we were going to resume the routes on December 21st. However, with the recommendation or perhaps the suggestion by AA that the plan, the rescue plan, be amended, and then everything then came to a standstill. And that came with quite a lot of repercussions in terms of risks that in fact happened. I want to believe, standing this side, that the recommendation to amend from my side was not an honest recommendation, because it started delaying all processes. You know, those that are, in fact, the accountants, they will understand when the economics, yes, in fact, you will understand that when you advertise something, there is something that is called, it's a counter advert. When you talk bad about your competitors, such that at least you hope to win. My understanding in this instance, the SAA realized that Mango may take off too soon, right? Before SAA. Hence is the recommendation that the business plan be amended. I just want to say, Chair, if I may ask this question. When the plan was drafted, the practitioner did not realize that the investor was so critical, such that the plan or perhaps the aircrafts could not take off without the investors. Because that's what the SAA, the AA is arguing, that it cannot, it's because of the AA, only the investor is on board, then the plan could be effective enough. So there is a little bit of a confusion there. My argument is the plan, in fact, the practitioner, or it was just an omission on the side of the plan that the investor was critical, such that when it was planned, then it was discovered that without the investor, the plan can't be implemented. So that is what I need to be perhaps explained. As well as when the decision to amend, was the practitioner happy with that amendment? Because it could have been that the practitioner was not happy because they had the timelines. If you had the timelines, you were not going to achieve that. Hence, you can see that all the programs are being dragged because we missed the December 21, which in fact was to resume the operations. As a result of that amendment, those operations were then put aside to such an effect that all the 412 staff were then put on board. And then it was a zero kind of employment, except with the only four contractors that were left to make sure that they run the situation. As well, Chair, I'll be interested that we at least be taken into confidence. I think we all of us here, we must understand that we work as a team. Can we then be taken into confidence that the six bidders, whether it's the department or it's Mango in itself, or even the practitioner, when they look at this, among the six bidders, which one is the most, it's better in terms of, that may stand a better chance in terms of the capacity, the technical skills, finances, and many others. So at least we need to know that how is that going to help us really, because we don't want to find ourselves having to fall into a kind of a predicament or a situation where, when we were talking about the SAA, and then there are those challenges where we were faced that in fact were the minority rather than the majority. These things, if they are discussed with us and we are primed, so that any other, whether it's a, it's media or outside people, do ask questions, or SCOPA in this instance call for a meeting, we boldly say we are part of the situation. The other question that I may want to ask, as much as I have a kind of a situation, are we really on track with the timelines? I understand that there is a bidder, a potential bidder. It's awaiting some of those elements like the PMFA that in fact are to be finalized. But are we happy with all the processes? Do we have all the ticks in those boxes that are there? The last time I remember some of the delay, which in fact has caused the slow coming of the report from the SAA, was the exorbitant charges that were coming from the PR, business rescue practitioner. Up until today, we have not received any report from the SAA that in fact will take us or give us the update. It's because there were, my understanding is that there were negotiations, because the practitioner, or perhaps it was too exorbitant for them when they charged the department. The other question is, yes, we understand that there is a 734 that was received, the 225 less 85. What's critical about keeping that 85? What is that 85 million for? Yes, I understand we have negotiated, but it tells me that it looks as if the budgeting could have been a thumbsuck budgeting. You cannot have a person who would have budgeted properly and could have in fact cut to the bones and easily accept that, yes, I'm cutting the 85, keep that 85. Oh, yes, is it the 85 you reach an agreement? Yes, it's agreed. But what is that 85 million for, which was to be kept aside? Another question, Chair, I will have. For the AA, what was, Chair, the strategic about the delay of the PR plan? Because it looks as if they were very serious idea about the plan, Chair. Otherwise, Chair, those are the things that in fact I've got a feeling. And also be given a little bit of a time frame, that when do we anticipate to have the second resumption of perhaps the operations? Because it's quite true. Also, yes, support the idea that if ever the project is successful, we will be happy perhaps as this team that some of the people that were retrenched if they are still unemployed somewhere, that a process be undertaken, that those people be again revisited and be re-employed to come back and work and do the work. Otherwise, Chair, let me wait perhaps from there. Yeah. There are too many risks, but coming, I think the risks came from the amendments that were in fact mooted by SAA. Thank you very much, Chair, for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Gumede. Can we go to Honorable Shabalala? Oh, first, before, there is Honorable Isaac, you said you left something.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, quickly, you know, Mr. Makobe makes it clear in his presentation that there is value in mango. And of course, we all know that 819 million was initially allocated. You know, I just wanted to get clarity on what has prompted exactly and motivated the withholding of the balance of the 85 million rand after discussions with SAA and DPE. I just wanted to get clarity on that point. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Isaac. Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you so much, Chair. Let me greet everybody in the meeting. I greet all of you, members of Parliament, obviously, Tate Makhuba, including Dr. Lamola. Chair, yes, we welcome the presentation and we wish you well as well. Speedy recovery. Chair, the most important element of Mango Airlines, business rescue plan involved, in my understanding, an attempt to save the airline through planned resumption of operations in December 2021 and the planned resumption of operations that were predicted on four factors. And those four factors, firstly, was that you wanted to restarting flight operations in December, obviously, that's what you reported on 2021 for the airline really to generate ticket sales revenue. Second reason you gave was to reduce the headcount of employees from the 708 to 412 through the voluntary services packages, VSPs. Thirdly, it was to do resumption of operations with three opposed. Planned resumption operations meant that Mango let me get to my train of thought there, I missed it. But the third part was that it was resumption of operations with three as opposed to eight aircraft. Lastly, was to granting vouchers to passengers who bought tickets before Mango went into business rescue. In practice, you meant that the planned resumptions of operations meant that Mango could begin operations without generating a private sector interest. However, now, you know, the SAA board was obviously against the planned resumptions of operations, as the board was convinced that Mango could not restart sustainable operations before the introduction and onboarding of strategic equity partner, which is where we are getting to now, and with requisite funding that is needed. Now, consequently, that you know, the planned resumption had to be amended, and that's what we understand. Now, the amended BR plan indicates that Mango will be sold 100% to a new investor, and that's why I have a fundamental problem. That scene, it may be fair to what the argument you're saying as the Mango, SAA, to say that the planned resumption of operation should have been considered as the first and last means to address Mango's challenges. So that's where I'm at. However, the important element of Mango's airline business rescue plan is that if the airline fails to attract private sector buyers, the airline would be down, which involves selling its assets to pay creditors. And at the moment, Mango has not concluded the investor process, and this may lead to the depletion of the remaining allocated funds as per the special appropriation bill before the investor process concludes. And this is where you are when you say you are busy, you've identified the person or the investor would be, it's showing attraction and the issue is being handled. However, important is that Mango's assets are substantially less than the 2.8 billion it owes its own creditors. In other words, should Mango fail to attract private sector buyers, let's say for argument's sake, what you have going on, it fails, it will struggle to sell its asset to pay these creditors. Furthermore, one of the cited reasons as to why Mango's assets are not enough to cover the outstanding debt is primarily because the airline does not own, but rather leases its fleet of aircraft. And I'm worried, Chairperson, about this matter, because this is where we found ourselves with the SAA, and we had to read on papers and so forth to say SAA was sold to nothing. And now what is going to happen with Mango in this instance? The issues for consideration from what I'm stated is that the initial business rescue plan indicated that Mango could not resume operations while in the state ownership, but the SAA board disagreed, officially agreed with them, ultimately paving the way for private sector players to provide the airline with capital and buy it. But I want to ask, what were the reasons behind the decision of the SAA board to propose an adjournment of the planned resumption of Mango's operations, if we can get it from them? Experience shows that the private sector is not interested, Chairperson, in buying unprofitable SOEs. Now, if Mango is a loss-making SOEs, as it has been made to be now, what then are some of the reasons why the private sector is interested in buying SOE? Meaning, I want you to expand, Dr. Mahoba or Dr. Lamola, that what would be the reasons really for private sector be interested in buying the SOE if it's unprofitable, unless if there's something that we don't know that the private sector knows or yourselves you would know, so we would like you to share with us. The amended BRP plan indicates the investor will hire new staff based on the operating model of the sold Mango airline. The question is, are there any attempts on the side of the Department of Public Enterprises to ensure that the investor retains some of the employees that exited via the VSPs? Lastly, the plan indicates that money has been set aside to pay creditors, given that Mango currently owes its creditors the 2.8 billion and the funds it's received from government are not enough to pay these creditors. Does this mean that Mango will request funding from the government to pay its creditors in case the investors is not forthcoming? This is a very important question, because quite often ourselves, being the ANC as a member of parliament, we find ourselves having had to go and really debate such appropriations, and when you request this money, the next thing the opposition comes very hard on us insofar as saying that the government is paying billions in terms of rescuing SOEs that are not profitable. Obviously, their stance don't want these SOEs. They feel they should go to private sectors. But right now, this is where you are getting us into. So I want you to be very clear that, does it mean that you're going to request more funding from the government to repay these creditors in case you don't have an investor? But what then becomes left for the government that would have invested so much in this airline at the end of the day? What does government get out of it? Does it mean everything went down and that's it, you are shutting down, but we have to pay again as government? What is the end of the bargain in so far as government is concerned on this matter? Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Honorable members, I think that's the list I have of members that present here who were in a position to engage. But before I gave to the Department of Public Enterprise to answer, including of course the board, I just want to
to ask the same question which was asked by Honorable Isaac, while I'm covered by my colleagues on most of other questions. But I just want to ask this question a different way, taking into account that mango has been more viable since it's a low-cost airline. Why SAA could not take mango as part of the same deal? I'm asking this question because low-cost airlines seem to be more business valuable, or they are more profitable than other airlines, which are like I can say those with first class, the business classes, on the basis that the middle class, the lower middle class, targets the low cost house. I mean the low cost airlines most of the time. The fare is making a lot of business and it's always standing, even after COVID, because it's a low-cost airline. Why would not consider as SAA, if the chairperson of the board will be in a position to say something around that, the interim chair, why it's not part of that package? Why they could not be bidding also to take over Mango, you know? The second thing that I need a clarity, Mr. Makov, is that we are not talking here about the state or the public having interest in the ownership of Mango. Am I mistaken if I am thinking that the department is talking about disposing totally with no interest or no shares in relation to Mango? Mango is just sold to any viable bidder to take over with no interest of retaining it as part of a state-owned entity or perhaps a shareholder of that entity. That's what I want us to be clarifying in the process of responding to our questions. I'm giving over to you, starting with the chair, and then the department continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will answer the various questions from the honourable members as a collective, and in some kind of a systematic way. My colleague, board member Ms. Zwane, might add if there is any material omission that I might have made. I will leave matters that I believe are better addressed by the DPE, in particular Mr. Makowe will come in. I will, Chairperson, focus on just reminding the meeting or the honorable members the history of that brought us where we are, touching both on the performance history of Mango, as well as the legalities, the processes that was followed, what is the objective of the BRP, and what are the consequences, somehow addressing the concern articulated by Honorable Tshabalala at the end. Chairperson, Mango Airlines, first of all, let me begin by saying that South African Airways is a group with, strictly speaking, four subsidiaries, if one include the SAA travel centers. Those subsidiaries are AirChefs, SAA Technical, and Mango. Yeah. The entity that was brought into business rescue was SAA as the airline in March 2020.
Mango and the subsidiaries were not into business rescue. It's important to remember this, and that the issues of the SEP of SAA came out as an address of the rescuing of South African Airways as a solution. The solution proposed being that South African Airways has to be allowed to be decoupled from a dependence on the fiscals by the introduction of an SEP. That was a totally separate a process, which we should really totally immunize from our thinking when we deal with the Mango process. Mango chairperson, yes, it was an LCC, a low-cost carrier. And the theory is that the low-cost carriers are supposed to be more agile and more profitable, etc. But the reality which the board of SAA, as the holders of 100% of the shares in Mango, and that had to deal with the performance of Mango, had to reckon with around April, May of 2021, which was at the start of the financial year, was the fact that Mango was not profitable. According to the financial year end results of March 2019-2020, Mango had deposited a loss of about 134 million rands. The following year, 2021, Mango had deposited a loss of about 500 million rands. And at that time, there was the whole challenge of COVID. Like all airlines, Mango was grounded from the beginning of from the end of March during the hard lockdown, and it attempted to get into operations on the 20th in June 2020 thereafter. By that time, Mango was at a 2-year loss record, and Mango had to face a very difficult operating environment. At the same time, Chairperson, the board of SAA was provided with a forensic report that had been launched by the board of Mango in 2017-2018, the Funduzi forensic report. Which forensic report was indicating that the financial records of Mango, or the reported positive performances of Mango in the year 2017-18, that showed that Mango had made a profit of 105 million rand, were actually questionable. And that Funduzi forensic report, Chairperson, is still live to a degree, because when Mango was taken into business rescue, as the board of SAA, we submitted that report to the BRP with the request that the BRP take into account that fundamental architecture of the financials of Mango, as the BRP reconstruct financially a rescue process for Mango. So that's one matter that the financial performance of Mango was very negative and very dire, to the point that I'm dealing with why was Mango put into business rescue. To the point that, Chairperson, in May 2020, one of the creditors of Mango put Mango into or made an application for the liquidation of Mango as a defensive position. The board of Mango passed a resolution requesting, or according to the PFMA, giving a notification and making a request to the ultimate shareholder that Mango should be put into business rescue to obviate a messy situation where the creditors of Mango would put Mango into liquidation. As it goes with these processes and the red tape of our legislative situation, the SAA board was waiting for this permission from National Treasury, etc. into July, Mango's situation was deteriorating. Mango couldn't pay ATNS for its navigation costs. ATNS was grounding Mango. The situation was so bad, Chairperson. Please let us remember that in July, on July 26, in 2021, the two unions at Mango made an application to the High Court for Mango to be put into business rescue. We as the board had to go to court to compete that the unions do not have charge over the appointment of their business rescue, because we wanted to ensure that the process that will be taken will be the one that will be conducted as soberly and in a way that will ensure that all the stakeholders are taken care of. So I think the point is clear that there was just, first of all, no willy-nilly or any other motives rather than the performance ones that Mango had to be put into business rescue. And this addresses in part the questions raised by the Honorable Isaac about the linkages or the suspicion about the LIFT and the Dagazo Consortium, etc. That on the side, Chairperson. And then the important point to emphasize is that the reason why a company goes into business rescue, the business rescue practitioner take complete control to the degree that the board is essentially put on ice. We as the board, since from the 2nd of August, when Mr. Sono was appointed as the BRP, are secondary informants. We have to request for information from the BRP. We are in a fortunate position because one of our subsidiaries, SAA Technica, is one of the creditors of Mango. Therefore, we have a seat in the creditors committee where our CFO sits. So that's one legal avenue that we get informed about what is happening with Mango. I need to put on record in this regard that because of the situation, we do not have a kind of a relationship at the board of SAA with the BRP that we will have ideally wished for. We have to ask for information from the BRP, and that in a way was epitomized by the events around October the 7th, 2021, that the members alluded to, when we as the board of SAA were horrified to learn that the BRP was intending to start operations of Mango, when we were aware at the time that the market conditions and the market conditions, aviation market conditions in South Africa, was so bad that that Mango will not be able to be sustainable based on the internal airline economics information that SAA is being managed with. By that time, we had started SAA operations from the 23rd of September, and we're dealing with very difficult conditions in the market. You will recall, Chairperson and members, that by that time, Comair BA was on business rescue itself. And what happened, Chairperson, fortunately, we managed to get concurrence with the BRP that Mango should not start operating in December, on December the 2nd, as they had wanted to start, based on our assessment, as I mentioned. And we were vindicated, Chairperson, because during that day, December, there was a second wave of COVID that came to be known as Omicron. Because of Omicron, We also, the whole of the South African domestic airline industry was grounded. So that could have been a huge disaster for Mango. Leaving alone the case that, the point that was alluded by one of the members, member Chabalala, that Mango doesn't have any assets, didn't have any assets in terms of owning a fleet or having aircraft on its balance sheet. It was going to run, or was running on leased aircraft. All the lessors were already hounding Mango, and one of the leasing company, GCAS, insisted at that point, or started or triggered the process where all the lessors were already taking that aircraft back. The point by that time, Chairperson, by December, was that the Mango had and still is sitting with a liability of 2.8 billion rand, including what is now 130 million rand that is unflown ticket liability, which Mango owes the public who had bought tickets by June, hoping that they would fly in Mango. So the state of the company, besides what I began with by giving its historical performance, that it has not been profitable. It has accumulated this huge debt of 2.8 billion. It couldn't pay its leasing contract. The lessors were withdrawing their aircraft. ATNS was grounding Mango. We had to ourselves argue, be in long meetings with the ATNS, pleading with them before Mango was grounded. So the situation of Mango had been very dire. Where we are currently, Chairperson, for me to fast forward so that other members can comment, is that we as the board are cognizant of the legal purpose of BRP. The legal purpose of BRP, as we all know, is a watered down process of a liquidation. It's somehow akin to what in the United States will say a Section 11 protection. Okay. We are into this process because we owe creditors 2.8 billion rand plus a public 130 million. Now, if you talk about the brand value of Mango, the brand value of Mango is on its customers. We are sitting with people today in the world of social media who, unless, actually at some point, they are going to create a storm when this process does not come to a good or a positive conclusion, because those ticket holders will be included into concurrent creditors, which, according to how the process works, honourable members, is that the funds that Mr. Makobe explained, that is about 256 million rand, that is sitting currently from the 890. That 250, you can imagine that people who have been owed, or companies that were owed 2.8 billion rand, they will have to take a portion, they have to split among themselves their 250 million rand. And that is based on what is called a waterfall principle, which means, according to the laws of liquidation and BRP, there is a pecking order where, for instance, SARS will have to be paid first, secured creditors like the banks will have to be paid. And after they've all been paid, there might be, say, 150 million rand. That is what the 2.8 billion credit holders of Mango are going to have to split among themselves. And for the comfort what was approved by Honorable Chabalala, this is a BRP that we are into. It is a mechanism of ensuring that the company, the shareholder being SAA, and the ultimate shareholder, which is the state, is protected from comebacks. There will be, if the SAP process does not work, Mango will have to be won down. The creditors have already accepted that they will take 4 cents out of every rent that they are owed, which is the result of the Twitter poll. So they will walk away, Mango will be closed down, and no one will be owing anyone any money. So why the SCP? Why why will the private sector be interested in a company in this state? As the board of SAA, in December, October, we insisted that let Mango be taken to the market. Let the market decide, because it was not only our decision, because when the company is in business rescue, the business rescue has a legal prerogative. You can't instruct the business rescue practitioner what to do. But in our interaction with the business rescue practitioner, now we finally managed to persuade the business rescue practitioner that if a strategic equity partner can come with some money, at least the ultimate dividend that will be paid to the creditors will be better than the 4 cents that the creditors are lining up for, including us, SAA is owed about it's owed about 400 million rand, or has lost. We are losing close to 400 million rand that is owed, because the SAA technical was servicing Mango, the aeroplanes, etc. So that was the idea. And Chairperson, the risk that the private sector investors want to take on Mango is really something that we, where we are, should really not, it's a risk, their risk. The South African domestic airline market is not a safe market. There are very serious risks. The point that was put by the board of SAA that Mango must wait has been vindicated by what has happened to Comair. Today, we don't have Comair in the market. Comair went into a terrible liquidation, which would have happened with Mango when Mango started to fly. However, the analysis of the market is that prior to where we are today, prior to the shutdown of COVID, the market, there is an element of overcapacity in the market. By overcapacity, we mean that there are more aircraft, there are more airlines who are deploying aircraft, chasing routes in our market. That is not a sustainable, because the more capacity you have, the law of supply and demand dictates that your prices go down. And most of the airlines were running at a loss. Comair was running for a number of years. SAA was running routes at a loss for a number of years. It happens in this industry. Even when we started our operations in September, we had to do what is called market development, where we have ran a number of frequencies, Durban, etc., at a loss, until we reached a point recently as SAA. So this, there's a major risk. There's a risk that as much as we can say that there is value in Mango, there is a risk that the BRP is sitting with currently, where the BRP has to assess that the proposed SCP is coming with a viable solution that will ensure that Mango will fly again. But the market conditions are such that such an SCP has to be a very, very creative SCP. And all of us will be happy if such an SCP will say they have enough money to improve on the dividend that the concurrent creditors, including SAA and others, will receive secondly, or maybe even that they will be able to re-employ some of the staff, that we will all be happy to see all those skills not lost in the airline industry. And then thirdly, they will have requisite funding to run a sustainable airline for quite some time. And of course, there are very serious obstacles. The first obstacle being the air licensing council, vigilance these days, where currently the Mangos license is suspended for a period of 2 years. And there is also a risk that the AOC, the airline operating certificate of Mango, is in a very dubious position, because to sustain an airline operating certificate, you have to undergo an audit by South African CAA. And during that audit, you have to prove that you have what is called post holders. That is key stuff that will ensure that when you start an airline, it's going to be run safely and sustainably. Mango currently does not have a post holder that will satisfy the sustenance of its AOC. I engaged the BRT since I had been moved into an executive position at SAA. The BRT, when the news broke about the suspension of the air services license of Mango, and the view of the BRP was that that's not a serious threat to the oncoming or the preferred or the evaluated bidder, which we believe in where we sit that it is a very serious risk, and we believe that to a degree it could be one of the factors that had led the BRP process on the selection of the SCP to be where it is currently. I will, before I stop, Chairperson, let me make this particular point in relation to the timeline. As the board of SAA, we are having a kind of an oversight, but like I'm saying, a limited oversight over the processes of the BRP, because in effect, it is South African Airways that is funding this process, as the monies from the DEPE goes through the books of SAA. And we are concerned that the BRP process must not be prolonged unnecessarily, because the more it is prolonged, the more it costs a lot of money. So we are putting pressure on the business process practitioner to conclude this process as soon as possible. We are, as a board, are putting a pressure to ensure that the process of the selection of a quality and viable SCP is done as judiciously and as cogently as possible, that when we receive the Section 54 application, which the BRP has decided will be the official moment within its legal powers to disclose the nitty-gritty details about the bidder, that it is a kind of a bidder who will ensure that we do not then go through a long process of regulatory checks and things like that, that will then prolong the BRP process, where SAA or where the 819 million rand will get exhausted. Mr. Matkobe will comment on the terms of the retention of the 85 million, which was one of the reasons. Because, Chairperson, you will recall that SAA has come out of a BRP process where the dispute with the fees that were charged by the BRP became a matter of public newspapers and debate. And we are trying to avoid our situation, that with our experience at SAA and at shareholder DPE of dealing with the business processes, that we want this process to be swiftly wrapped up and wrapped up in a way that all the parties will be happy. Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, are you still there?
Yes, I thought Mr. Mokoba is going to follow.
Okay, Jefferson, I'll follow.
Yes.
Yes. I'll really answer you about the responses, the chairperson has covered other issues. And the question was asked, what is the nature of the deal? The deal will be placed before others were indicated through a PMMA application. We'll evaluate the deal. We'll have to negotiate the deal and decide on the appropriate stake. And I know the business risk plan says is 100% safe. But it's within our rights as a shareholder to negotiate, because that process was run by the business rescue practitioner. And once he has made that decision and he has made this negotiation, he must bring it to the shareholder, which is in parliament. And the shareholder will then have to negotiate the deal and make sure that the deal makes commercial sense, that it is viable, and if it is not, we'll then have to look at other options. So once the PMMA is submitted to us, we will make that determination whether, you know, is it a fair offer? Are they getting the best value? Are we getting the best value out of the government? And then we'll go through a period of negotiation, and that's when we'll come and say, this is the percentage that we've been able to negotiate with that particular investor. Now, the other question that has been asked by the honorable members was, why did the DRC want to take us to court? The reason was that, as we indicated in the presentation, that before we released the money, we wanted to understand what is that money going to be utilized for. And we're quite strict in terms of how the money will be used. Yes, the money has been appropriated, but we wanted to make sure that we are frugal in terms of, you know, spending taxpayers' money. And that negotiation between us and the DRC has led to us to save 85 million of taxpayers' money, which then must be celebrated, because the creditors also had to reduce the dividend that they get. So he had to go and negotiate with the creditors and say, no, the shareholder wants to save 85 million out of the process. Let's see where we can cut. And with that, how frugal we are when it comes to taxpayers' money. And as a result, we came to an understanding, yes, we wanted to take us to court, yes, it was a tough negotiation process, because we wanted to save the spare money. And until we get an agreement, and then it was presented to the creditors, and thanks to the creditors of Mango, that was agreed, and 85 million was saved. In terms of, the chair has also touched on it, what is the value for Mango? I mean, why would people be interested in Mango if it's in the state where it is, and it doesn't really have a lot of tangible assets except that engine that it has. The brand, the name of Mango is quite important. That's why people are interested in it. That's why the issue of the licenses also have to be addressed. So that whoever is the investor, they make sure that this license and the issue of the route, and we show that there is value in Rain Mango. And if we have the way capital to keep it going, as government, we will understand that. And that's the reason why we were saying it should not fly, because there was no working capital at the time to enable it to fly. So with regard to the timeline, we are waiting for the TFMA. We are putting pressure at both the airport and the department to make sure that that application comes. And once it comes, the road user is today to evaluate the application and make the necessary decisions that we need to make as the shareholder. With regard to the appropriation, I think let's just clarify that 890 million was appropriated for Mango, and then we made the savings of 85 million as I said. But what was required was 2.8 billion. That was what was owed by the creditors. So we managed to negotiate it down and cut it to the bone, and at least get 85 million also to the fiscal. So the reason why it was not flying, there was more money required for working capital, and there was no funding for that. With regard to the employees, yes, Honorable Shabalala, we will reach out to the investor once we have our negotiations with them to prioritize the former employees of Mango if this deal then goes through. The question was asked, what about other bidders? So yes, they could not produce the proof of funding, and those that were able to, okay, but the
one that I went through. I think I've covered the question that has been asked. Thank you very much.
Okay. That is it. Honourable members, now that we got the responses, I will just check for only one. If there is anyone who would like to make a follow-up, I'm seeing one person. Is there any second person who also, before I close, who want also to have a follow-up? I see one hand, and I don't take people who have been provoked. I just want people to make follow-up on the questions they have asked. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, there's only one person who will be making a follow-up question.
Thank you so much, Chair. Yes, I am doing follow-up. I think from where I am, it's quite encouraging from what and Dr. Makoba is reporting, primarily on the issue of the BRT, around them putting their foot down. For instance, what is the money going to be used for, negotiating to that far they have been able to. Which brings me to what I want to submit to the committee. By saying that, Chair, perhaps had this been done with SAA, would be speaking a different language, insofar as the charges of BRP. And we've been raising this matter for quite some time. And I understand this issue around accountability of the money and how it's been accounted for in the BRP. Necessarily in the Companies Act, you have a bit of contradiction, if not legislation that needs to be looked at. Now, I would really implore the committee content advisor for them to look into the legal of it. If it means we must have a joint sitting with DTI, let us do so, because we are in the business of SOEs, and quite often, all of them, or most of them, they're ending up on this process. However, the issues of accountability, money appropriated, the kind of tug of war between it will be business rescue plan. At the same time, you have a restructuring plan that goes on. You have government, the department, and you have the BRP also the person that at the end of the day, the BRP doesn't feel to be negotiating. As much as Dr. Lamulekizo said, it was very difficult to convince them, put your foot down and so forth. So I would like to think there's other areas that we need to look at as legislators around that. So I am really submitting that. Can we look into it and come back to ourselves in a close meeting and see how we can take this process forward? If it means we must do what we call private members amendment, perhaps it's something that we need to look into. So I really implore the committee section to look into this matter. My follow-up on the, given the suspension on the license for 2 years, I wanted to ask that Dr. Lamula, when you said, you know, it doesn't, BRP says to you, it doesn't really affect the process going forward, but I wanted to know how does it affect the BRP itself? But you kind of answered it, but I think I'm still left to understand it. The last one, in September 2021, it was reported that 100 million was received from government for the business rescue process. The committee, I think, should receive an update on the use of this fund. Mr. Makoba says it's 85 million or what is operation, but I want to understand exactly what is the figure and what was it used for. It doesn't really have to be answered in totality, perhaps in a written reply, that would be mostly appreciated, so we can see and work with you in the journey. But I think I want to appreciate the efforts that the colleagues are putting on this matter. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Shabalala. Can you go to the chair and Mr. Okoba, if you can?
If I may, Chairperson, thank you. Just a quick direct answer on the SMEC's license accounts. The SNDC's licensing council both the domestic one and the international one has become a terrain of a high of activity by within the airline industry currently in South Africa. As the committee will know, that both councils were recently established only after the COVID resuscitation of the industry. And emanating from our own interaction with the service council, it is a very it's a cooldown of what is going on, which reflects the competitiveness of the in the airline industry currently. The crux of all of this, Chairperson, is the scramble for air traffic rights and the routes. There are routes that were flown by Bango, local, including the Zanzibar route. There are routes that were flown by SAA, historically very lucrative routes that, within the region, etc. There are routes that were flown by SAA Express that is no longer in operation. So all of these routes, or the routes generated within the airline industry and business dynamics, are evaluated in terms of how much money they produce. So there's a scramble for the most lucrative routes. The Air Services Licensing Council are inundated by competing airlines wanting to grab and get the routes that were flown by Mango and the routes that were flown by SAA historically, because according to the law that the councils are working on, is that if there's been uninterrupted non-operation for 12 months, there's a risk of trying to lose those routes. But there's a mechanism in law where quarterly also you have to submit what they call the Annex L, where every 3 months you inform, present the financial statements, you just give them an assurance that you are still in the business, which SAA have been doing. But Mango has not done since the BRP. So from when we sit at SAA board and our understanding of how this operates, we believe this is a major risk. And the sadness of it is that this was announced against Mango, I think on the 8th of October, so the 8th of August, when the BR practitioner had published a report that he had a shortlisted bidder who was to submit financial instruments, letters of confidence on the 10th of August. So there was hence there was such a flurry of activity which forced us to interact with the BRP against the set protocols, where we believe that that had or could have had an effect on that particular bidder no longer being interested, because one is not dealing with just business people in this environment. One is dealing with bankers. And as we all know, banks with their credit committees, etc., do not just take things at face value. So in summary, Chairperson, our assessment of the risk intensity or the risk rate of this Air Licensing Council injunction against Mango is more severe than the one placed by the BRP. The BRP believes that he can or he will be able to find a way around it, but it's going to be a very serious struggle. Because we, as it will be known, we are also currently dealing with the same Air Services Licensing Council on some matters. They are raised against SAA.
It was mostly in an external list, and the other went to the DRP fees, but we'll give a table in terms of how the 100 million was spent. Thank you very much for the probing questions and the comments. help us really in shaping this process forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, that is the tail end of our session. Let me take the opportunity to thank the Department of Public Enterprise and the crew from the SAA, particularly the chair of the board. We really appreciate Dr. Lamola for your contribution and helping the members to understand what you're taking on at Mango. We would like to also thanks all the members that participated in this session, and now we get into the end of the session, but I would like us to inform the members that in the minutes of the previous meeting we will also not going to be present yet, because we would love the secretary to be in a position to help us with presentation of all those minutes together. We can't present the minutes of the last meeting while we still have minutes of the other meeting that could not be presented to one of his absence. Therefore, in the next session, I think he will be back. We'll be in a position to get all our minutes being presented. Thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned, all the members.
Long live the chair.